For a few minutes then, let's go back to Jeremiah. And I've chosen to start this short series on Jeremiah. It could be a long series. There are 52 chapters in Jeremiah. I could do one for every day of the every Sunday in the year. And I'd probably be preaching to myself if I did by the time that was over, because Jeremiah is quite a heavy book. It's heavy with judgments on nations. It's not an easy book. But there are some really great highlights that I want to focus on. So we'll maybe have about six looks at Jeremiah over the next few weeks. It's a big book. It's about 5% of the Bible. But it's not a particularly familiar book, I guess, to many. So we're going to look at just some of the highlights and just hopefully get a flavour of this great prophet and his message. Now, if I ask myself, why would you, on a Sunday morning, want to come to church to hear about a man who lived 2,600 years ago? Well, maybe you're interested in history, and you might find it interesting from that point of view. But why would you? And of course, really, the interest is not so much in Jeremiah, it's in Jeremiah's God. Because Jeremiah's God was with Jeremiah 2,600 years ago, but he's the same God today. So what we're really interested in is the God who reveals himself to us in Jeremiah, who's the same God who is with us as we worship him and as we live out our lives today. So what we're really seeking to know is God himself, and Jeremiah will help us to do that. So let's read the words of his call in verse 5 as our starting point. So Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, God says, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. This is God's calling to Jeremiah. I wonder if you believe in calling. Do you believe that God has a calling for your life? Or do you think it's all chance? Do you believe that God may actually, like Jeremiah, have, even in the very womb, made you the person that you are, given you the gifts that you have, placed you in the community where you live, and called you to fulfill a role, or maybe many different roles, in that community? Do you believe that? Certainly it's what's revealed here about Jeremiah, that God has a role for him. And what we're asking is that true for us too? Could it be that it's something for us to investigate in our lives? What does God want us to be? What does God want us to do? I know for young people today, it's a big question, a much more complicated question than it perhaps used to be. Maybe a couple of generations ago, you maybe did the work that your parents did. But today, young people are asking what they're meant to be. But Jeremiah helps us maybe to ask what God wants us to be. And we're not just talking about a spiritual calling like being a prophet or being a minister or whatever. We need to remember that even our Lord Jesus, he spent most of his life, his working life, as a carpenter. He was in what you might call a regular, secular job. And God called him into that as well, as into his 3 years of public ministry. So every one of us has got a set of gifts, a set of opportunities and circumstances and a life experience, but we also have a God who's calling us to fulfill roles in our lives. And there are stages in a call. Certainly here, if we just follow it through, five things we can spot very quickly about Jeremiah's call. The first is what they all begin with F, just very quickly. First is what we call foreknowledge. That is God saying in verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So God is saying, you know, don't just think that you kind of, the first anyone knew about you was when you were born. God's saying, I knew about you even before you were conceived. That's quite a thought for us too. That God knew about us before we were ever conceived. So foreknowledge. There's formation in verse 5. The formation of Jeremiah in his mother's womb. I mean, we can look at it on a genetic point of view. And everyone is unique genetically. The DNA that forms us when we're at the point of conception is unique to every one of us. And what God is saying here to Jeremiah is, I was in that. And Jeremiah didn't know about DNA. But he was saying, I was in that point where you were becoming the person that you would be in your mother's womb. I was there. I foreknew you, I formed you, and then I made you fit for something. The third point is fitness. Verse 5, before you were born, I set you apart. I had you in a role. I had you in a particular position. I had a place for you. In my mind, God says, I had a place for you. And that place for Jeremiah was to be a prophet. What it might be for us would be very, very different. So the fourth thing is finding that place. Finding that place. And that, for Jeremiah, is kind of made easy because God actually appears to him in a vision and tells him, you're a prophet. That's what you're to be. And the fact is, of course, Jeremiah isn't meeting God for the first time here. Verse 6, he knows God. Ah, sovereign Lord, he says. He knows God. He knows who he's speaking to and who he's dealing with in this vision. But finding out what he's wanting to be is another stage. And then the final part of a call is following. You've actually got to be obedient. You've got to do it. So, foreknowledge, formation, fitness, finding, and following. Imagine if you go through life, or try to go through life, without finding your place. Imagine going through life feeling that you don't fit. I mean, a lot of people are doing that today. And one of the reasons why they don't feel they fit is because God's calling us to be his children, first of all. And if we reject that call, then we're never going to fit in this world. We're always going to feel we haven't found our place. Because the place that God made us for is his family. But then in his family, there are roles for us as well. And if we're trying to do the wrong role, again, we're not going to feel that we fit. And God's got lots of jobs. And it's not just the spiritual jobs. It's all the jobs that there are. So it might be the postman, or the parent, or the partner, the musician, the artist, the writer, the explorer, whatever. There's calling for every one of us. And a place where we fit. How do we find that place? Well, not many people get told where their place is like Jeremiah did. The first thing I think we need to do is we need to know God like Jeremiah. We need to respond to his general call to us. God is calling each one of us, and he's calling the people outside as well, to himself. Come to me, Jesus says. To the crowds. Come to me. And that's the first call we need to respond to. And when we come to Jesus, we find that he puts us in touch with God. He forgives our past. and gives us a good relationship with God. And on that basis, we can then offer ourselves to God and say, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to serve you? And then we can look at our gifts. We can look at what openings there are in our lives. We can listen to advice. We can listen to the Bible, to God's word. And sometimes, of course, probably most of the time, God says, well, just stay doing what you're doing. Because that's what you've already found is the right place. But sometimes he won't say that. But Paul's advice to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 7 is stay in the position in which you were called. And in those days, half the population were slaves, half of them were free. Not slaves in the kind of deep south sense of exploitation, but just sort of bond servants in households. And Paul says, if you're in that position, well, stay in it. But if you can get free as a slave, well, get free, but stay in that. If you're free, stay in that. And he goes through a list of different things and says, stay in the situation. Brothers and sisters, each person as responsible to God should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. That's 1 Corinthians 7:24. But then we may realise that God wants us to move into something else, or we may stay. But whatever, responding to God's call is something that is not always easy. And verse 6 tells us that Jeremiah just balked at the idea of being a prophet to the nations. I'm just a child, I don't know how to speak. And Jeremiah has been asked to do something really difficult. The rest of the chapter spells it out. The rest of the chapter tells us about the moral situation in Judah, verse 16. The people they're worshipping idols. And along with that goes all sorts of horrendous practices. And they've been doing that for a long time. And God says, it's not going to continue. I'm going to bring judgment on my people. And he shows Jeremiah this boiling pot tilting out to the north. And it's a symbol of the way that judgment's going to come. It's a symbol of how the Babylonian Empire is going to come down from the north and is going to basically rampage over Judah and take the best of Judah back into exile. It's going to be a terrible time. And Jeremiah is going to have to actually live through that time. See his prophecies about Babylon coming to destroy Jerusalem and Judah and to exile the people of Judah being fulfilled. He's going to live through it all. So it's not going to be an easy time. It's not going to be an easy message. And at the same time, the people are not going to want to hear it. They're not going to believe it. They're going to fight against him. Verse 19 says, but God is going to be with him and God's word will be fulfilled. And that's the meaning of the branch of the almond tree in verse 11. It's a play on words. It doesn't work in English, but it works in Hebrew, in which the book was written. The word for almond tree is almost exactly the same as the word for watching in Hebrew. And that you'll see that if you've got a footnote for your NIV translation. But God says, every time you see an almond tree, it'll remind you, I'm watching over my word to make sure it happens. But Jeremiah recoils from this, and it's going to be a challenging thing for him to actually deliver the message of the prophecy that he's been given, a message of judgment, and then live through that. And God's callings are not always easy. Jeremiah doesn't want to be a prophet of judgment. He doesn't want to be a prophet of judgment for, as someone said, the subtle pleasure of creating consternation. Jeremiah tells us in chapter 17, I have not desired the day of despair. He says, I even try to keep quiet with the prophecy. I don't even want to speak about what's coming. Chapter 20, he says, I will not mention God. or speak any more in his name. But then his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. So one thing we mustn't take out of this prophecy of Jeremiah is, you know, that this is a man who loves doom and gloom. And Christians shouldn't be like that either. I was recently visiting someone who was temporarily in a home and in another area, and they had a cousin in this other area who belonged to a very strict church. And the cousin came to visit them while they were staying in the home. And the person who was in the home said, "I didn't enjoy the visit at all," he said, because she just spoke about doom and gloom and elaborated on the miseries of the world and pronounced judgments on the waywardness of the world. That's not the job of a Christian. Although we're going to be looking at Jeremiah, and although it's about a lot of prophecies of doom, Jeremiah is full of gospel. There's lots of places where God says, "Look, it's bad, judgment's coming, stop doing this, and I'll bless you." Or he looks forward to the coming of Christ as well, Jeremiah does. We live in the time when Christ has come. And as Christians, if we do say to the world, "Stop sinning," it's so that the world may turn to God and find forgiveness and peace through Jesus Christ in a relationship with God, know God as a Father, and know the hope of eternal life. We are not people of doom and gloom, and we're people of gospel. I sat in a meeting just the other day where one of my colleagues was speaking about how discouraged he was. And in his congregation, he said, "I don't know where the growth is going to come from." These were his words. He said, "Myself, my wife, I think we're the only people in the congregation that are actually trying to bring other people into the church." Whether that's true or not, that's how he felt at the time. And he said he just lost a man from his congregation who had gone to another congregation. And when he asked the man, "Why did you leave and go to the other congregation?" the man says, "Well, because you're always telling us to tell other people about Jesus. You're always telling us to bring people to church and to bring people to the Christianity Explorer group and all the rest of it. And I just want to go to church, sit in the pew, and then go home." And so he found a church where that's all he needed to do. But we're not like that. We are called by God to know him through Jesus, and we're called by God to share good news. We have the gospel. And church is just a little bit of what it means for us to live out our Christian lives. And we want to share the good news of Jesus in our community, day by day, by being happy people and living out the joy that we have in Jesus in the community, so that people looking at us can see we've got a message. That's not easy in this day and age. And Scotland is becoming a very anti-Christian place, becoming a very secular place. And there's opposition to the Christian message. So we need to hear what God said to Jeremiah here as well, verse 19 and again in verse 8. "I am with you, and I will rescue you." That's all we really need to know. God, Jesus has called us to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And he says, "I am with you to the end of the age." So, we all have a calling. First of all, it's to come into God's family and to live out a relationship with God in our community as people with good news. But we also maybe we have a calling to fulfill roles in the community, jobs and positions, voluntary positions in the church as well, and all kinds of things like that. And if we hear God's call, if he comes knocking at our door, we must try and obey him and trust him. Even though, like Jeremiah, we may think, that's hard, that's challenging, that's difficult. Because he will be with us. And he will deliver us. As we close, we read in the book of Acts, chapter 11, that there was persecution on the church, on the early church, as it brought the message of Jesus into the Jewish world particularly, and then out into the Roman world as well. And the persecution culminated at one point in the stoning of Stephen. And people had to leave Jerusalem and flee for their lives. And it says some of them, they went, and in fact all of them, they went about telling the good news. Even though they were being persecuted, even though it was hard, they just couldn't keep it to themselves. And some of them came to a city called Antioch, it says. This is Acts 11:19-21. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. So if we're faithful in our calling to live out our Christian lives and to share our Christian message, just like with Jeremiah, God will be with us and God will use us to bring good to the people around us. So may God help us in our lives then to hear his call and to respond to it and to come into his family and to serve him there and to make available to him the gifts and the opportunities he's given us so that other people also can come to know him as their God and their Father.